At T-Mobile, we're declaring the end of data limits. Introducing T-Mobile One. One price, all unlimited, for everyone. That's right. Get unlimited 4G LTE data on your smartphone on our network that was built to handle it. And get it at a price that won't break the bank. With four lines of unlimited LTE data for just $35 a line per month with AutoPay. Switch today.
Top 3% of data users greater than 26 gigabytes per month may see reduced speeds until next bill cycle. Video typically streams at 480p with qualifying credit discount via bill credit plus taxes and fees.
Welcome back, everybody, to Fox Sports Radio, Soul in Sports. Right here, I am your host, Mike Knox. And indeed, I spell my name with three X's because, like the Sports World's Weekend, I am hardcore. People first, the particulars. 347-637-3859 is the number to call in and be a part of the show of shows with the host of hosts and the crew of crews. That's right here where you can just be what you are, and that is be an intelligent sports fan and welcome in barbershop talk as it meets radio. 347-637-3859. I'm going to call and hit the number one button to have a voice. Don't be voiceless. Be one with the force. People, listen, a lot to discuss today as I wear my heart on my sleeve, and I wear it simply like this. People, Redskins, Panthers. The storylines, because, you know, I say all the time, hashtag wrestling is storyline. Well, I was also intelligent to know that sports is storyline. And Josh Norman signed a tremendous contract in the offseason. Some said was not justified. He seems to be playing one of the best corners in football this year. Except for that one game against Dez Bryant, but Dez's stats didn't show it, but the highlights did. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about stats, because people lie. Stats don't. Well, he welcomes to his new home tonight the Carolina Panthers and Scram Newton with a whole lot of an eighth inch of his skin to FedEx Field. Redskins have to put up or shut up. They cannot lose or afford, shall we say, lose this game tonight, as I wear my heart on my sleeve, because the Dallas Cowboys win last night. A lot of NFC East talk, a lot of $37 million quarterbacks getting benched, a lot of the NFL to discuss. Also, as I wear my heart on my sleeve, legends. We're talking about Muhammad Ali, talking about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You know, I can't say basketball and I say Michael Jordan. We're talking about Dale Earnhardt Sr., Jeff Gordon. We're talking about Arnold Palmer. Not just a drink, which, since I've moved to Virginia, is like my favorite thing in the world to drink. Can you give you diabetes, all the sugar inside that, some Arnold Palmers. But we're talking about legends. And legends in boxing, they come and they go. Bernard Hopkins, oh, my brother, we shall testify on that knockout. He should have retired a long time ago. Also, as we talk about legends, Allen Iverson had a lot to say. Didn't name any names, but we know who he's talking about. Do you think Allen Iverson had the right to discuss rest? We're talking about rest. Not a hangnail, not a broken back spinal, but we're talking about rest, Allen Iverson. Also, WWE End of the Road did happen for the New Day after 484 days as the WWE Tag Team Champions. Did the hashtag Black Excellence have anything to do with it, or was it just time? All this and best and worst of the weekend as North Carolina goes down to Kentucky, and who I think will be the number one pick in the draft. All this and more, 347-637-3359. Welcome in, my brother. He will testify, no doubt. Or is it no diggity, no doubt? You know what I'm trying to say. What's going on, Micah? And me, Richmond on the Twitter, that is.
Man, with the cheesy of cheesiness on my face, I can tell you about the place that I am at right now with everything this weekend. All I can say, my brother, is wow. But it's still me, the guy, M.E., wishing on the Twitter. And let me tell you something, man. I'm like the New York Jets full team. I ain't no quitter. This football weekend combined with WWE Roadblock in the line, combined with Star Wars Rogue One, it's just been a very good weekend for me. So I've just been enjoying it, just taking it all in. It does help that I'm off for 2 weeks, too. Thank God. All right, yeah. Off for 2 weeks. I'm trying to tell you, it's been great. Gaming, Star Wars, football, and wrestling, can't get no better than this, sir. Oh, by the way, I did see the Bernard Hopkins fight. I went back and looked at it since I had an all day to do so, and I was laughing.
Oh, hold on now. We're going to save it. We're going to save it. You laughed at the Hall of Fame. I mean, Floyd Moneybrother did tell us the object of boxing is to hit, not be hit. Maybe he missed the memo.
Oh, no, I didn't laugh at Bernard Hopkins. Oh, I didn't laugh at Bernard Hopkins. He wasn't the one I was laughing at. I was laughing at the guy who was leading and who was letting him sit in there for all 8 to 10 rounds. That's the guy I was laughing at, the young cat who ain't supposed to let a 51-year-old last that long. But we'll get to it later. I'm just going to tell you what I saw as I was interested. I mean, he didn't look good for a 51-year-old.
I don't see how young he actually was, but I understand, and I will take note of that. But your weekend, man, like, it did start off with Star Wars. You know, I ended up watching New Hope today.
You did?
Had to watch it. It's they're all free. If you got Xfinity, they're free. I mean, you got a little commercial, one or two in there, because they're on TNT, but episode 4, 5,
yeah,
and 6 are in there.
TNT was playing all 6 episodes.
Yeah, but they have them all.
It's ridiculous. So, I mean, I don't mind them playing episodes 1 and 3 and 4 through 6. And they can leave episode 2 where it is. It's just, I don't know why. Me and episode 2 don't get along, Mike.
Isn't that the Attack of the Clones?
That's the Attack of the Clones. And while I enjoyed the fight scene at the end and Samuel Jackson showing that he got some skills and stuff and he didn't have to say
Master Windu. How could you not love Master Windu? What has he not been a part of? Samuel L. Jackson has played in more parts than I have been in sexual activities in my bedroom or my boudoir.
I have to second that notion, actually.
I love when you watch the movie. You ever watch the movie Ted? He said, "She's like, who's Samuel Jackson?" He said, "The black." He said, "You ever watch a movie?" He said, "Yeah." She said, "Is she the black guy? That guy? Because he's in everything."
Any movie ever created, he's the black guy. So, I mean, really, Samuel Jackson's not too far away from our late great Count Dooku, Christopher Lee. So, I mean, Samuel Jackson's on pace to easily break his record as far as just starring in movies, period. Just being involved in a movie some way, somehow. So Christopher Lee still has that, but, you know, with him passing away, unfortunately, then that too. But also, we did also lose a basketball stalwart, especially a Craig Sager. So I know you will get to that. But, if we don't get to that today, I do want to say that I understand everything that he was doing and how the NBA got behind him. And I enjoyed him primarily for his suits. because, you know, he did everything else a sideline reporter did. The only difference is that he had charisma and he was still able to tell a story. He was genuine with him. So I appreciate what he brought to the table. If an NBA game was boring but he was on the sideline, it wasn't going to be boring too long. So thank you, Craig Sager. And, you know, I'll miss you this playoff and this playoff season, this All-Star game. And I know a lot of the guys
in the NBA
going to honor. So, yeah.
No, you're right, and I would have been remiss if I had not brought him up during some time of today's broadcast. We took Friday off as we had a men's day, and you know, you accompanied me and my son to go see the wonderful epic, which is the new Star Wars movie, Rogue One. And you mentioned Craig Sager, his charisma on the sideline, things like that. What I've always loved about him was not that I've ever inspired to be a sideline reporter or things of that nature. I don't believe that's the area that may be suited for me, but whatever God leads me, God leads me. But I will always watch him, and I still watch, and I still dissect, you know, people who do podcasts, radio shows, whatever there may be, that may be in a different, you know, obviously on a different level than I am currently now. And I would always watch these guys in position and see how they would react to interviews or comments or not getting an interview or not getting a comment. And Craig Sager and me always stayed neutral in everything. And I remember some relationships that he had with one Derrick Rose when he was with the Chicago Bulls. And like you said, the suits. If you do not know, like we just made the line that we took from Ted about, you know, if you have not seen a movie, you've seen Sam Jackson, he's that black guy. If you have watched the NBA game on TNT, he's the guy with the color suits. And, you know, he stood out, and our thoughts and prayers go to his family. And excuse me, Mama, excuse me, you know, for things that I want to say. But also in that same time, my wife lost a close friend of hers mother. So in the words of what I believe everyone feels, I don't care if you're Mother Teresa or the Pope, and I'm not speaking for him, but just my thoughts when it comes to cancer, we have one word for it, and that's cancer. And it's enough. We it's in the food, guys. We have to watch what we eat. We have to watch what we take in. So we really do. We got to become better than what we are. And again, my thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family. But and in his honor, there were some wonderful, wonderful things that happened over the weekend. We're waiting on Mr. Wally, wow, to call in our Redskins experts. We're going to put the Redskins talk on the back burner for right now and clearly start with what I want to start with, because this is, you know, the best damn show in radio on the Fox Sports Network. And my hashtag and my line has been for 7 years, over 3 million listens. If you don't like it, listen anyway. You may try to be like me. You can cut your hair to be bald like me, but you can never be me, talk like me, or have what God has given me that you don't have. And that's charisma and talent. 347-637-3859. And speaking of charisma and talent and all of the above, who I call him the mini goat, one Allen Iverson had some things to say. And after the break, we're going to play what the one Allen Iverson had to say. And we're going to discuss that, fair or foul, on Allen Iverson. We'll be back. It's really that simple, really that clear, really that. I don't find it very hard. You find it very hard? I don't find it very hard. But some might. But be right back, y'all.
That same sell 5 million, hit the charts like a madman, nothing but hits. Court cases got a face in multiple digits, dodging cop cars. Look at how we come so far. Picture a high school dropout, rolling a double R, house full of happiness and drank. Way out, so in trouble, try to find me, can't. Never vision living longer than my 21st. Thought I'd be locked down, cracked out, or in the dirt. And though it hurts to see the change, it comes with the fame. Watch for gossip in the silly game. So, speaking down on me, this is the night. Why is everybody caught up in Pac's life? To all y'all, conversating on my life, mind your business.
I'm right. Everybody needs to cheer. But we know all the same people, so we got the speed. You taught me first, faith can't stop a G. And all that you went through meant a lot to me. To watch you lock you up and then was a shame to see. You know, I came and did the same thing to me. I get along real, this lane to be. Talking loud out of trying to get me. But so I pull it out my pocket, let it you see. Now they all in the courtroom blaming me. See, we ain't live the same life, but represent the same struggle. Power to the real, death to the struggle. Money over. Get to know it for your love. Death before the time, I never talk to undercover. Live by the same rules. So my tattoo with the same sort of dude, with the same short fuse.
Everybody needs to cheer. That bounce, moving my tapes in major way, cause every dollar counts. Busses is jealous and happy, is pumped. They running off at the mouth till I fill it up with my bump. They jump my how to keep them wary while you fronting like you really bad. You scary, I've been knowing you for years. We was high school peers, junior high. I was itching it, and you was ready to die while you was dying to catch a case. In my in foreign places, and even though great, they see my face and they bump. Dying to hurry till I ride. I'm never worried, Mr. Machiavelli. Tell me to ride. And I'ma ride, pick my enemies out the crowd. And not the way I wanna live. My is how it is.
Only real stay on top. Word up.
Everybody needs to cheer.
Wrestling Federation. For over 50 years, the revolutionary force in sports entertainment.
And we are back, Fox Sports Radio 1340 WHAP, Hopewell. And before the break, we were talking, one, many go, I like to refer to him as his Mr. One, Allen Iverson, and his comment on refs. But as I said, was waiting for our Washington Redskins connoisseur, or aficionado, that's the word. That's the word, Micah, that one of my founding fathers, Frank Nitti, like to say. Aficionado. We welcome in from Urban Sports Scene here on Fox Sports Radio, but really all about the soul and sports. What's going on? Whoa!
What's going on, folks? How's everybody? It's cold, man. This weather's inconsistent. It'll be like 60 degrees, then it'll be like 5.
I tell you, man, this weather's been like the Seattle Seahawks offensive line.
Yeah, it's been something, man. It really has. It's been something. But yeah, man, I'm ready to chop it up.
Are you saying inconsistent? That's just rude. You're just so wrong.
Inconsistent, man. But so inconsistent. It's not even cool, though. It's really. It's not even cool. It's so inconsistent. Not even cool. God playing games with me. I love you, Lord. You're playing games with me right now.
Yeah, I always say the same thing. Like God does not play around. Listen, 7-5, Washington Redskins tonight at home. Josh Norman welcomes into his new home, his former team. Would they be mercy to play? I tell people, you always say wrestling is storyline. Sports itself is storyline. And I think there's just so many storylines going through this game. A, mathematically and importantly, the Washington Redskins to win this football game. We need Kirk Cousins and the offense to play good in this game. We need the defense to shut down Cam Newton, the offense, which I know if you look at the Carolina Panthers and like, this team is not the team that they were last year, but the Carolina Panthers are still a dangerous team, I believe, given any moment, any time. You know, the record 5-8 does not speak boldly.
for them. 4-8-1 is their record, but a lot to still lose right now for them. Maybe playing with some pride, but in this game, like I said, it's important for the Washington Redskins to shut down one Cam Newton, to shut down Luke Kuechly is back in this game as well. The defense needs to step up, and right now, if the Washington Redskins, a lot of players are talking smack, Josh Norman being one of them, this game is important for them to win. While we speak on it.
Yeah, this game is a must win. Every game is a must win. It's a must win for this team. This team can't take anybody lightly. We've seen this team struggle against the Cleveland Browns at FedEx Field. So this team is in a position to say, you know what, we're playing a team that's down. They're not in that position. Like you said before, this Carolina Panther team is still talented. You got Cam Newton, you got Luke Kuechly, you got Benjamin, you got Tommy Davis. This team is talented. So if the Redskins go into the game thinking that they're playing the Sisters of the Poor, then they're highly mistaken. This team is still capable of beating any team in the NFL. So the key for this team is to contain Cam Newton, try to keep him in the pocket, but still have pressure at the same time. So a la what the Denver Broncos did to him in the Super Bowl and in the opener for the NFL season. But their goal is to be able to keep Cam Newton in the pocket, make him beat them in the pocket, and also keep your levels. Don't go out of your lane and to the point where you get Cam Newton that easy running lane. So the defense has to step up. I'm not saying they got to be a lockdown defense like the Baltimore Ravens in 2000 or Chicago Bears in 85, but they do have to be.
Hey,
a defense
speak on it.
That,
you know you're talking about the Bears. I interrupt you. It's just a major fact.
Okay. I rep all good.
He was on such a roll there, and I just like blind tagged you without blind tagging you with the worst blind tag, and it wasn't fair. I'm sorry. Go ahead. It's all good.
It's all good. But yeah, they don't have to be that special, but they have to be good enough to contain the Carolina Panthers. They have the Redskins offense do what they've been doing most of the season, and that's be able to move it up and down the field. Obviously, we're going to talk about the red zone inefficiencies, but. If they can get the Redskins in a situation where the defense can put the Redskins in a situation where they don't have to score 30, they got a good chance to win this game.
A good chance to win the game is something that they need, and I believe with the home crowd, knowing how good they need this, it's cold out there. That's not going to impose a part for, favor either team, in my opinion. This is, I always hate when, you watch a football game and they go, well, the Packers in the cold. Just because they've been playing it more than me there. I don't think no one gets used to cold. How long I lived in Chicago. Cold weather is going to be cold out there tonight. That wind's going to be swirling. Where do you see the win for the Washington Redskins in this against that? Is it going to be the more of the offense that has to put the points on the board, or the defense, if you will, so to speak, stopping Scram Newton?
I think the offense is going to be they're going to do what they've been doing most of the season. And that's they're going to move the football. It's all going to be predicated what they do in the red zone, to be honest with you. But to me, this is a game for the defense. The defense has been maligned over the last couple of weeks of how they've been playing football, to a point where the people are kind of crapping all over them. So I just think in terms of being a man and stepping up, this is football. You have people talking poorly about you like you won the worst defense in NFL history, which that's an exaggeration, but that's how folks make it sound. If I'm the defense, I'm saying, you know what? We going to work. You know what I mean? Your man card got to come out now. You know what I'm saying? It gets to a point where you hear this all the time, like you can't play ball. You holding your team back. The Redskins have a Super Bowl offense, but this defense is going to be the cause of them not making the postseason. So if I'm a defensive player on that for the Washington Redskins, I'm on that side of the ball, I'm stepping up, man. I'm doing whatever it takes. I'm not saying if I'm an inside linebacker, I'm not going to be Ray Lewis. I'm not gonna be Mike Singletary. I'm not gonna be in them dudes, but I'm gonna be good enough to know that you're gonna feel me. So if I'm any of those guys, I'm in there. I'm thinking, you know what? We got Cam Newton. We on prime time. All right, we playing one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Let's show out.
Let's show out. Now, showing out is what they need to do. And in this game, the Washington Redskins are. Last time I checked, no, they're not favored in this game. They were fair. They are favored in this game tonight against the Carolina Panthers here at home. What's this, week 15 we're in now? I can't believe we're already in week 15 of the NFL season. Like, I don't know if anybody else
has this.
Season.
This moved by kind of cool. Fast, man. The week started going real quick.
Washington by 7 tonight. This line started off at 6. So they moved it up a whole point. Are they a touchdown team favorite, in your opinion, Micah, over the Carolina Panthers and Scram Newton?
Because
I look at this game, and I see more than seven.
Well, I see more than seven as well. And one of the reasons why I think it's going to be more than seven, to your point, Wally, one of the talented players who got a concussion. With the season being what it is for Carolina, they're thinking about resting Luke Kuechly for the rest of the season, just letting him sit and letting him go ahead and go through the process, just sitting down, watch the team get stumped by everybody else. But you never know. Carolina may make it interesting, as they always do. But I doubt it, because Josh Norman's going to shut down Benjamin. And after that, who does Cam Newton get left to pass to other than Greg Olsen? So I think it's going to be a very interesting game from the standpoint to see how much points can Kirk Cousins throw on them and for him to get into the general manager's face and say, how you like me now? Again, I think it's going to be a how you like me now type of game. And without Luke Kuechly in there to kind of muddle the waters, I think Kirk Cousins is going to have an even better game than I expected. So that's why I think this is going. I also think they're better than 7 points. I wouldn't be surprised if they win by 14, at least.
So you are you one of those football fans that say that this Carolina Panthers team is done? There's nothing left the Panthers can do. Huh. Monday night matchup or not, the role of the Redskins cornerback Josh Norman, he's gonna obviously want to play big. If I'm the other side of the ball, I want to, shut him down. If I'm the whole team, because he's talked a little smack on the team, I want to shut this Watson Redskins team down and stop this team from making the playoffs. Wally, Micah feels like it's going to be a big walk in the park. I think it's actually going to be a close game, but a 10-point game pulling out in the fourth quarter by the Washington Redskins. I just feel that if Washington does not come out here, like especially if you're talking about on defense prepared, Cam can hurt these boys, in my opinion.
Is this simple? Like, what team has the Redskins blown out this season other than the Green Bay Packers? They don't blow anybody out. Just not that team. They always keep it the way they play football. They always allow a team to stay in the game. That's just a recipe that's been throughout this whole season. So for me to say that they're going to blow a team out, I don't think they blow anybody out unless they change some things up. But this team hasn't shown that I'm going to step on your throat and take your life out. They haven't showed that. They haven't showed that gene yet. You know what I mean? You saw a little bit of it against the Packers on Sunday night, but you don't see that. You don't see it from this team consistently. Again, this game could go close. This game, to me, I expect it to be a close game, just because of what I've seen from this team in the past. But if they do what they're capable of doing against this team, then yeah, they can blow them out. But I don't see it. I just feel like this team tends to play to their competition, and then when they know it's time to go, when it's pressure on the line, then they tend to play a little bit better towards the stretch. You know what I mean? They need defense to make a play. Defense makes a play, or the offense has a good drive or something like that. But this team, to me, against the Carolina Panthers, I don't see a blowout. I see a game maybe by the Redskins win by four or something like that, maybe by a field goal. But I don't see a blowout. As a fan, I'd be happy. I mean, it would save me a heart attack.
Well, let's make sure we prevent that, because I want to make sure I get some more pictures of those chicken wings you like to post when you have your weekends off. 347-637-3859. Jaspers is the place, I believe. Let me go ahead and ask you this much. I know you got the Redskins winning this game tonight. We all picking the Washington Redskins to win this game tonight. I just think that they're too much, and they have too much to play for than Carolina. Mm-hmm. And I believe that NFL players, despite the youth and the enthusiasm of Todd Gurley and other young players in the league, at this stage, and you're out of it, players give up. They're not getting hurt. They're just not going to play the same. Let's see if that's Carolina tonight. Have they rolled over like a dog? Hey, shout out to my Philadelphia Eagles, who lost to the Baltimore Ravens yesterday. And I want to speak on this for a second, because a lot of people, you guys understand this, especially you, Wally, being in the D.C. area. And maybe, Mike, I know you'll be able to relate to this at least. I have an issue, guys, with sports people who say they love their team. Oh, I love the Cowboys. Oh, I'm a diehard Redskins fan. But don't watch a damn game. You can't tell me you're a diehard fan, and I'm not a guy who says I'm a bigger fan than you than that guy. I used to be that guy until I realized there's no way to level the measure of you being a bigger fan than me, because you may tend to do something about your fanship with that said whatever. Doesn't make you a bigger fan than me. There's no way to determine who's a bigger fan. We can talk smack like I do if you're not from Chicago, all that kind of crap. But truth be told, you're a fan. But I do believe there's levels to fandom, which means if you're not watching the team, following the team, knowing about the team, the players on the team, and all you still know is the logo, you're not a fan of the team, in my opinion.
Sure. Uh-huh.
So yesterday, the Philadelphia Eagles had the golden opportunity to win the game, a pointless game, right? We win this game, what does it do? Does it give you the spirit of the team? Absolutely. By losing the game, what does it do? Give you a better draft pick? Absolutely. Fans went belligerent, as Philadelphia Phillies fans have been known for. They went ignorant and asking for the firing of Wendell Peterson. And my take is this. Your team has nothing to play for but pride. But pride. I thought it was a gutsy move. I love the move. I would have done the move. Bad play? Maybe, in my opinion, bad throw. Maybe, in my opinion. Either way I looked at it, giving the Ravens a victory in that manner, to me, the Ravens earned it. I picked them to cover. They did not. My Philadelphia Eagles played a lot better game than I thought they would. The defense played inspired football, but I thought they had none left in them, as I just spoke previously about other football teams. And they proved me wrong. If anybody watches the National Football League and especially pays attention to certain teams, one in case in which I'm talking about, the Philadelphia Eagles, you would know that team has a lot of upside to them. The defense is there. The quarterback, albeit throws a lot of damn interceptions, there's a difference between throwing a lot of damn interceptions because he's making the wrong damn read from making a throwing out a bunch of damn interceptions because he's trying to make a damn play. There's a difference. Make a damn play or play badly. Couldn't find it in rhyme with another word to say damn, so I have to, you know, pause, put it in the meter. But you get what I'm saying here. Who cares? Who cares if you're that, you lose that game in that point? And Micah, I backed off. Get my voice out of there a little bit. Hopefully my mic sounds nice. Check one, check two, better now.
It was fun.
Can you fault that team for losing that game in that fashion?
I look, man, like you said, you're playing for pride. You're not playing to try to win the division. You're out of the division race. You're out of the playoff race. So you're just trying to see what you got. Like you said, the team has a lot of upside. I like everything about your team coming into the season. The only question I have was about your quarterback, and your quarterback has answered a lot of questions, in my opinion. I mean, he's still a rookie, and there's some things going on. But you, sir, everything that you just said, I like to smack any Eagles fan who called for the firing of a rookie head coach who just started coaching the season. And the guy is gutsy, and he made gutsy calls all season long. Some of them paid off, some of them didn't. But now when you ain't got nothing to play for, all of a sudden you want to fire him after one season? Do you know what kind of franchises do stupid things like that? Here's one. They're 0-14 right now. That's one of them who will do that. They're a factory of sadness. Stop trying to be like dumb teams. Look, here's another team that's trying to do it. You should bench Dak Prescott. He lost two games. You're an idiot. All y'all who been saying all this stuff, they're dumb. They don't deserve to call themselves fans, and they're not telling the truth or being truthful with who they support. Because any Tom, Dick, and Harry who's a real fan knows that that's part of football sometimes. And sometimes you got to gamble. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. But the call for the firing of a rookie head coach, you is a saying. You're slower than molasses in January. There you go. That's the saying, Mike. Slower than molasses in January. This is ridiculous. Like, I don't know. I can't do it. Wally, I can't. I'm done with dumb people. I'm done with dumb fans.
I'm sorry. I was still laughing at the what you just said in January. Yeah. That one threw me for a little loopy loop right there. But I appreciate the love and respect with that one. On that, Wally, your take, man, because like. You know this, being around the area, knowing Jay Chris, Uncle Jay, the way you do, how Eagle fans can act. Some of the reaction, I mean, was it not to you anyway? To me, it was a very gutsy call and a call that doesn't, you know, harm the team in no way moving forward, but in a good way because they lose. Hey, better draft pick. What do you think about that last play by the Philadelphia Eagles, tying it to go to overtime or going for the 2-point conversion?
No, I mean, I think it was a good play. I mean, you're not playing for the postseason, so why not go for a W? I mean, you did win a game. And I felt like, you know, he was like, you know what, this is an opportunity to win this game. And with Carson and for anybody to call out firing Peterson, my question to anybody who said that is, what was your expectations going into the season? I know I remember hearing the Eagles weren't going to be that good. They probably weren't going to be one of the better teams in the NFC.
I still said
they
6
played
and
better
10.
Than what people thought.
I still said 6-10. I still said 6-10.
To me, they're a surprising team. They have been way more competitive in every. They've been competitive in almost every game. This team is that team is going upwards. It's not going downwards. You look at what this team was projected to do. They're playing better than what people expected. So if for anybody to say, I want to fire Doug Peterson, that's kind of foolish, because that means this guy has helped this team get to a point where you can say, you know what, this Eagles team may be a bad team next. I mean, bad isn't good. A bad team next season. They have the defensive line in place. They got the quarterback in place. Give them another a wide receiver, a number one wide receiver, and
yeah.
this team could arguably win that the NFC East next year. So to me, I don't get the whole let's fire Doug Peterson.
What?
He's a rookie coach.
Better watch that while you're a Redskins fan and a Cowboys fan as our social media guy. Better be careful.
Oh no, I'm just keeping 100. You get like
he's
you
gonna
know,
tweet.
You got,
he's gonna tweet you in a bad light. You know he will.
He didn't tweet me. I didn't say I was an Eagles fan. I just kept it real. This is a team that got the opportunity to definitely, you know, win the NFC East next year if they get some of the pieces around the quarterback. So, I mean, they can do that. They can compete. But all that firing Doug Peterson stuff, that's just fans living in the moment. You live in the moment. They call it L, and now it's like, oh my God, what's going on? Nah, just tailor your expectations. This team is doing better than what you expected.
Your expectations. I love that, Raleigh, right there. And I'm gonna put a niche right there. That's drop the mic worthy. Cowboys last night flexed out to Sunday Nighter again. I mean, let's be real here, people. Can is it hate when I say I'm tired of seeing them on Sunday nights? Maybe.
Yep.
But it's also unfair. But I know what Cowboys Nation's gonna say. We pull in ratings like the Chicago Cubs. You're damn right to do, because people hate you and they love you. And that makes for great television. But I tell you one thing about this game last night, and what I want to talk about most importantly is Rain Prescott. 32 for 36, 279. Really? No touchdown passes, but no interceptions as well. And he says he did not pay attention to the criticism last week, Micah, and the calling for some people by one Tony Romo and the Romo sexuals that follow him. Ezekiel Elliott, another great game, 23 for 159, a touchdown. I mean, this team is rocking and rolling. Dez, 8 for 82, Witten, 10 catches. I believe Rain had the highest percentage for a quarterback in NFL history with over 32 attempts in a game. Wow. I hate that we have to talk positive about the Dallas Cowboys. This is where I guess my inner Stephen A. Smith comes out, because I loathe the Dallas Cowboys. But damn it. Damn it, Sean. They're good. Have crop shirts and all. I cannot believe this. I just wait and pray for your downfall. I know that's wrong. Hey, I am your fan's favorite fan and your hater's favorite hater, because every fan has a little bit of hate inside of them. It's natural. You're a fan. Get over it. 26 to 20 was the final score. Buccaneers squandered their chance to step up into their division and try to get into the playoffs race, messing up their chances, giving more way to the Washington Redskins. Micah, your take from Rain Prescott, Ezekiel Half-Crop Elliott, and the Dallas Cowboys.
All right. Very simple.
Very simple.
Delete! Just go away. If anything about this team that's the saving grace for a person that's just a hater like I am, the saving grace for us to hate them is in the playoffs, they have one major weakness that can mess them up against a good offensive team, and that's that secondary. Jameis Winston has some weapons, but really he has Mike Evans. And for them to come back and tie it up on you means that your defense is still your main weakness. However, once again, to me, the MVP of the league right now, Ezekiel Elliott, did what he
Watch your mouth
to.
Out with soap. Wash
yeah.
your mouth
I got
out
to.
With soap.
I got to.
It's going
I got
to.
To.
You know what? You know the worst part about this is that that award typically is a quarterback award, like the Heisman Trophy. And
yeah.
because he's a Dallas Cowboy, he really has
yeah.
a better chance than anybody winning it. Although I think Carr should really be the MVP. But I guess it's an argument made for both because both teams were very bad and now both teams are pretty good. But I say give it to the quarterback like always.
Do you think it's a shared MVP award? Do you think it should be shared between Ezekiel and Derek?
No, I hate shared MVPs. Ask Jason right. Kidd and Steve Nash. I think that's so corny to share an
Steve
award. Nash. I really do.
Yeah, Steve Nash, Peyton Manning shared that award. That was ridiculous and stupid. Pick one. But yeah, I think he's me personally. If I had to vote for the MVP, I would have to swallow my hate and give it to him because no matter how great that Rain Prescott has been playing, he's only allowed to be able to do that because of the running game that is given that has been given to him by a great running back. Well, the way he's trending to be a great running back in Ezekiel Elliott. Because at the end of the day, Mike, we all talk about the offensive line and things like that. But if you have a trash running back for the offensive line, that trash running back is still going to be a trash running back. I'm sorry.
They're trash? You said trash? Running
back. I'm talking about
no.
If they're running back,
that's
yes.
Not true. That's
hold on, Wally.
Denver
hold on, let Wally in there.
Let me go. Because
the Denver Broncos had some trash running backs.
Trash
and they all got like 1,000 yards. The Denver Broncos had some trash running backs after Terrell Davis, and they've done nothing after that.
But 1,000.
After
I like
that
like 4 straight years, 5 straight years. No, like 7 straight years. 1,000. Yeah.
Mike Anderson. I'm just telling you, if you got a bomb offensive line, it does a lot. That's all I'm going to say. Now, I'm not taking anything away from Elliott, Ezekiel Elliott. He's talented. He's gifted. But that O-line makes it quite easy for him to be as good as he is. It puts that talent on the forefront. That's all I'm saying. But you can't – if you have a bad offensive line, if you have a great offensive line, you can't make running backs look good. It's happened before.
Emmitt Smith's one of them. Sorry.
No, I'm not, I thought about saying that. I thought about it.
Well, okay. Yeah. Franco Harris is one of them.
I thought about it.
Well, I mean, but like, still, I mean, you have to have some measure of really good talent to be able to run behind the offensive line.
AI, could you imagine, we said this before, Barry Sanders behind that line?
Oh, my God.
I agree. No, I agree.
Oh, my God.
That's not
the once-in-a-lifetime type talent, though. He can run behind anything. He literally ran behind nothing. Like it was like they were playing. It was like they were playing 7 on 11, and five.
Barry Sanders can be inside an octomom and still not get caught.
Yeah.
And she has all kind of holes in her.
He's perfect. Oh, that's a good one. That was a good one.
That's a really good one. Well done, sir. Well done.
That was a good one. I ain't gonna lie. That was a real good one.
347-637-3859. Continue with your point, because I'm sorry. I look at this team, and to be real to our craft, they're still the best team in football. I said this about the last 5 weeks, I believe now, when teams were not still, or fans and people were not still sure to put them in that category, still winning the Patriots who, you know, came out victorious in their game. But I look at it right now, no matter, Patriots 16-3 over Denver was surprising, doing what they do with everybody else. But I'm sorry, I look at this Cowboys team and I just go, it's really unbelievable how well these guys play. And when they acclimate Notre Dame's, you know, part of the all-punk team, I'm sorry. I love Michael Floyd. I watched him, but I have a thing with the NFL and players. NBA also has this procedure and process. We know this, public record to the media, that the NFL, if they don't care if you're drinking. They don't care if you're drunk, to be honest. Let's just be real. They don't want you to drive. They have a car service for you. All you have to do is call the car service, and it's off the record. And maybe if it is still on the record because you're making a phone call and they're moving and they're mobile, they don't care. They care about the image of the league. They care about your safety. Remember I said image of the league first, okay? Then their safety. But nonetheless, how you want to flip-flop it if you believe it's the other way around, they provide a car service for you. And so I have no sympathy for any drunk that's on the side of the road slumped over, passed out in your vehicle. There's no excuse for that. But if anybody can make you a better player because of it, maybe a better man, it's the New England Patriots. Still, 12-2 along with the Dallas Cowboys, who are 12 in New York. Are you ready yet, Wilder, to say the Cowboys are the best team in football?
No, I'm always going to say the Patriots are the best team in football, and I hate the Patriots with passion. I'm always going to say the best team.
Are you going off of past history?
No, I'm going
I'm going off of
this team, like, they got Brady. I just feel like it is what it is. And they got Belichick. I just feel like this team is just the best team in football.
But that's history, but are you saying that?
They're 12-2. But, like, all right, this is my thing. The Dallas Cowboys have a weakness. They have a real weakness. Their weakness is what? Their defense is a weakness for that team.
Mm-hmm.
But what they do is they run the ball to negate their weakness. Well, Brady, the New England Patriots don't really have a true straight-out weakness. You want to say special teams, I guess? I mean, that if you really want to call it out, special teams, but they don't have a weakness. Like, you can't say their defense is a weakness.
I think they do, and it's very well hid behind the greatest quarterback of all time, Tom Brady. Please tweet that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And probably arguably the greatest coach of all time, and Bill Belichick. And
yeah.
I think the offense isn't as good as Dallas. It's not even close. And I think the defense is as good only because it might have a better secondary. But I'm still putting it – I believe if those two meet in the Super Bowl, first of all, it's going to break the Chicago Cubs World Series record that just broke. I do think that. It's America's two teams, one being their current team, the Patriots, and their old team, the Dallas Cowboys, for the battle of America's team. They're going to play. The NFL to me has been set up since 9/11. Because the toll truck rule, things like that, it's been said, it's what it is. I still love sports. I watch wrestling, so why would I not watch sports? I still believe that it's somewhat they help teams they want to go to certain areas of things. That's just my belief. And by saying that, there's no better audience you're going to get than Cowboys versus the New England Patriots, the battle for America's team. I'm dubbing it right now. Mark it down. Wally, and I do. I think the Cowboys will beat them handily. I do.
Well, this is my question. How many losses have the Patriots had with Brady on their team, with Brady this season?
One.
Exactly. One. They're that good.
Okay. Well, the Cowboys have how many under the rookie
saying,
Dak Prescott? Oh,
yeah,
I said his real name,
his
nickname.
They got two losses.
They lost to New York, and who's the only team that can beat the Patriots?
They lost to New York. I won't count that one as much as against them. At the same time, we're talking about a guy who is a rookie quarterback and a rookie.
Hold on. He just said something, though, but he said they lost to New York. The only team religiously that proves they can beat the Patriots when it matters most is New York.
I think
New York doesn't get no credit for teams.
But you said that, like, but you just said we're going off of this season, though, right? We're not going on the
right,
test,
right?
That's the argument that we're doing, right?
Right.
I'm just saying
New York this season,
to be real, I'm not even – this is
right.
To be honest, this season, to be real, if you look at it for what is other than defense, the New York defense has ball. I won't tell you their defense has ball down this stretch. With certain playing against certain competition too at the same time.
Uh-huh.
But this New York team isn't even as strong as other New York teams. Like, if you really want to break that down.
No, it's not.
And
no,
if
it's
you
not.
Look at – and the reason why –
they have no running game.
New York beat the Cowboys, the reason why New York's beat the – and even the Eagles almost beat – the Eagles almost beat the Patriots – I mean, the Dallas Cowboys as well, right?
Uh-huh. Yes.
If you look at some of these Patriots, when the Patriots are playing a so-called lesser team, if they are –
they crush them.
They break a neck.
They crush them.
They break a neck.
They break a neck. I wish we had that. I wish we had that mix. I got your head knocking. You know what I'm talking about?
you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Okay.
But you look at it. I'm with you, though. So you look at the Cowboys. You look at the – and I'm not knocking – again, the Cowboys are the best team in the NFC right now. It is what it is. I'm not taking anything away from the Cowboys. But what I'm saying is that when you can see the Cowboys in certain games look vulnerable. When the Patriots are playing a team – Any team, they're playing a weaker competition. They ain't playing. You're not saying this game is close. When you say, Mike, you do your bet that segment every week. You're like when the spread is big, you're taking what? You're not even playing with it. You're
taking
the
underdog.
You're taking the Patriots. Yes.
Oh, well, it's that way. Yeah, yeah. I take the
Patriots.
Right.
Like when they say it's a blowout, you don't go against it, do you?
No.
That tells you a lot.
Well,
it tells you a lot.
What it also tells me, right, because you brought it in first, I got to piggyback off you, and that is a little bit of history, right? And that's playing a team in the same division three times in a season. We know that it bodes better for the team that lost twice. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, to me, I think it's really a foregone conclusion. We can put – right now, the NFL is in a perfect position because you have the Green Bay Packers. The Packers of Green Bay, who came back against the Chicago Bears, which – people,
man, Bears ain't quit, man. I like that. Bears ain't quit. I like that, though.
Listen to this, people. Fox, for all the credit he gets, you know he is single-handedly the one who ruined the Broncos' first Super Bowl chance, and now the Bears lost today with a safety going deep. Remember that game against the Ravens? Okay, when the Ravens went to Super Bowl. Like, people have to understand, John Fox is overrated as a quarterback as well. We got Stephen A. Smith talking about all these coaches that should be fired and what they've done. John Fox is another one of these coaches that has not won anywhere but done okay in certain places when he's had a better team. And, again, every coach plays coaches better with better players, unless you're, you know, Chip Kelly, he gets rid of better players. And then we see what happened when he got rid of better players. But we're not talking about him, who also should be fired after 1 year, in my opinion, because we can see that his offensive philosophy does not work in the NFL, as I once thought it maybe could have.
But to that point, to what Chip Kelly, Mike, to help you, it's not that it's not working. He's not doing the same thing anymore. He's not doing the fast. He's not doing the fast, upbeat style.
He's scared. He's being told not to do that, I believe, as well.
I can tell, because if he did that, I think he'd be more effective. With Kaepernick, he'd be way more effective, but he's not doing it. He's losing his advantage. That's his problem. But go ahead, Mike. Continue. I'm sorry.
No. It's fine. But my point is that when right now you're looking for someone like Aaron Bleeping Rodgers to play well, because right now, a couple weeks ago, it was Seattle can beat Dallas. They have to paint a picture for something to make it worthwhile that can beat the Dallas Cowboys. Okay, and unless you get someone like an Aaron Bleeping Rodgers to play them again, okay, and Seattle to play them, and we don't know what Seattle team we're going to get. Seattle, to me, is the most consistent, inconsistent team in recent memory in the NFL. They can play like world beaters. Then they can play like they're uninspired to play. It's like the Los Angeles Lakers, Chicago Bulls of the NFL. They play when they want to play. Remember I've seen the Bulls and Lakers are just, I don't really feel like it. You know what I'm saying? And then there's times, okay. They call it the switch. They turn the switch on. They hit the switch.
Yeah, switch on. Yeah.
They turn the switch on. And right now, the NFL is glad to have that switch turned on by someone like Aaron Bleeping Rodgers. There's so many teams I don't like that's going to be in the playoffs this year, but I still will watch because it's the NFL. I mean, I don't like none of them, Wally. I just don't. Micah, best and worst of the NFL weekend. And before you go ahead and do that, let's go ahead and recap the scores. We had Seattle win on Thursday Night Football 24-3. Then I forgot they were even playing on Saturday because I was into my North Carolina-Kentucky game, which we'll talk about later in this program as well. Miami wins 34-13. See, Huggo, you're following the wrong team. You live in Miami. You're a Jets fan. Something wrong with that picture. We're talking about the god dang Jets. Packers of Green Bay come back over the Bears and Soldier, formerly Sona Soldier Field. Still is called Soldier Field, but it's really not Soldier Field. It just got the same name to the stadium. 30-27. Jacksonville fires their head coach, who, by the way, who was also in the running for the Eagles coach. Incidentally, he doesn't have his job anymore either. Loses 21-20 after Brock Osweiler, $72 million quarterback, gets benched for Savage. Cleveland fights valiantly, but, you know, Shady McCoy does what he does best against Cleveland and rushes for 153 yards in that game. Buffalo wins 33-13. Rex Ryan saves his job. My Philadelphia Eagles lose 27-26. Tennessee comes back over Kansas City. 19-17. Detroit sucks up against New York, 6-17 loss. Indianapolis over Minnesota, 34-6. Pittsburgh comes back, 24-20 over Cincinnati. I still predict them to go to the Super Bowl. Will they be there? New Orleans and Arizona in the shootout. Thank you for fantasy playoff points. One, Mr. Drew freaking Breeze. Thank you, 389 yards, four touchdowns, and no interceptions. Yes! Atlanta 41-13 over San Francisco. New England 16-3. Oakland comeback over San Diego 19-16. Dallas last night wins on Sunday Night Football for the fourth straight week, 26-20. Best and worst of the NFL weekend, Micah.
All right. My best of the NFL weekend. Yo, like we were talking about earlier, gotta give it up to Derek Carr and the Raiders. Just looking good, you know, and improving and being scrappy and crazy and nutty and all kinds of stuff that Jack Del Rio is. I guess his team is like that too. So I got to give them credit where credit is due. That's a fantastic thing they're doing, taking that division by storm and running away with it. My worst of the weekend is the Minnesota Vikings. You lost to my Colts. You have one of the best defenses in the league. You let my Colts beat you. What? And not only just beat you, but it wasn't even close. What? What is wrong with you? And that's all I got to say about that. This is weird, Mike. Weird.
That's your best and worst of the sports week for your football? Okay, all about them Colts, huh? All about them Colts, about them Colts, about them Colts.
I thought that'd be your best. The Colts,
I thought that'd be
your
best, too.
That should be your best.
The Colts are, my Colts are trash. We got four good players. We haven't had
a chance to win the division, though.
No, you don't got no chance to win the division.
You're 7-7, right?
Houston won their game. No, Houston won their game. And with Houston winning their game, and what Houston, I think, should be.
I think they're nine and seven now.
No, it's going to be between them and Tennessee. Because now, granted, if Tennessee beats Houston, that will help us out a little bit. But at the same time, we got to win out
early.
But fuck, we're trash. There's nothing to smile about. If we get to the playoffs, it's a joke. Whoever has us in the first round has a layup. Seriously.
I want to say all that. I mean, they can beat teams. They could beat teams.
No,
they're not terrible.
Of course we can beat teams. Teams that are stupid. We can beat teams that play us dumb. But let's be honest. If you are Sigma, if you are Andrew, not so much luck left, and you are sitting behind your 80th combination of offensive line, what do you expect to do?
I think you're being too hard because they beat a good defense, and Andrew Luck got money.
I'm gonna make sure I'm the hardest on my team because I refuse to be a fanboy just because I am their fan. There's some real problems on here, and Ryan Grigson hasn't addressed them.
No, I know they haven't, but I just think that they've had some, like, that's a big W. Like what they did, no one expected them. That was a big W. That was gritty. That wasn't you acknowledged the big wins. If they played bad and got a win against, say, the Cleveland Browns, I'd be hard on them. But they got to win, a quality win on the road against a good defense.
I appreciate that. I appreciate the
confidence.
It feels fast, though, but I appreciate it.
I tried, Micah. I tried.
Molly, best and worst of the sports week of the NFL weekend for you?
It's funny, man. You know, I don't think I would ever say this in my life, but the best thing of the weekend, the NFL weekend, the Dallas Cowboys being the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That was, like, awesome to me. That was the greatest thing ever because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had the playoff spot, and now the Redskins are right in it right now. So I want to say thank you, Dallas. You screwed me up last week. I thought y'all should have beat the Giants last week. Y'all messed that one up for me. But y'all rebound pretty nicely. So I want to appreciate all Cowboy fans. That's the best. The worst of it, it's the same game. The same game Michael was referring to, because, you know, I have Adrian Peterson on my fantasy squad, and, like, he only had six.
Did you put him back in the game?
Yeah,
why would you
right
do that?
Because Melvin Gordon is hurt, and Melvin
why
Gordon
why would you do that? You could have got Kelly. You get so many running backs and free agents. You picked him back up?
Not my league. There's no running backs. There's no running backs in my league. Everybody's taken. I had to go back with good old Reliable. I was thinking he's going to be special again. All I need was like 50 yards. It's all good, though. I'm still about to win anyway. I have Shady McCoy.
All I need is
Hopkins. They kick a field goal. The Redskins got a bad. They got a bad red zone team. So I'm giving a field goal. So I'm good. All I got to kick is a field goal and I win the game. But that's neither here nor
right
there. But that was AJ Peterson. Screw me. So that's the worst of the weekend. Darn you, the Colts, and darn you, Adrian Peterson, for not getting me a 50-yard run. All I need is a 50-yard run from you or something.
My worst of the weekend is John Fox being John Fox and letting the Packers of Green Bay – come on, Wally. Come on, Wally. Come on, Wally. Come on, Wally.
Yeah, that's
come
not
on,
happening.
Wally. Damn you.
Yeah,
damn it, Sean. The Packers of Green Bay
coming back like that against the Bears, come on, no matter how much I may be a diehard Philadelphia Eagles fan, my heart will always be still home where I grew up watching my childhood Chicago Bears, and I will always hate Aaron Bleeping Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers for that. My best of the weekend and a loss was my Philadelphia Eagles. I don't care what anybody say. Right call, no shame, no harm, no foul. Right now we're looking at probably pick number 6 because we don't have our first round. It's where our first round goes to who does our first round go? So I figure whoever had number 2, I think it's Cleveland. Whoever had number 2, I can't remember. I mean, they're unemployed right now. But we do get Minnesota's pick. So I keep needing Minnesota to lose. And they did right now. So I'm cool with Minnesota right now. They're 7-7, right? I can't afford them to win any more games. We're looking at about top 10 pick right now, top 12 pick right now. So but my best of the worst of the weekend right now definitely goes to that in the NFL. We're going to take a break, y'all. We'll be right back. Fox Sports Radio 1340, Soul in Sports, a lot of stuff in wrestling news. Most importantly, a hashtag that set the world ablaze, hashtag Black Excellence. Was it the reason why all the black champions pretty much lost their titles last night? Here's someone from Off the Ropes Radio Show speaking on blacks in wrestling. And I urge you to listen carefully because I personally don't think you can understand me. We'll be right back, y'all. Fox Sports Radio 1340, Solon Sports, BDSR Network's best damn show and radio.
Now, you know me. I am definitely one to point out the things that I see, whether you necessarily like it or not, or whether you agree with it or not. But I think one thing that most of you, in your years of watching professional wrestling, in particular the WWF/WWE, will recognize and acknowledge is the fact that it's very hard from the outside looking in to not sit there and look at the way the WWE and Vince McMahon treats their black performers and think that that company is anything other than racist to the highest power. I mean, when you really think about it, exactly how many black WWF/WWE world champions have there been? I'll say WWF/WWE champions. I'll leave the World Heavyweight Championship out of it. How many? The answer is zero. Not a God-blessed one. And don't you dare count The Rock, because when you ask The Rock who he always aligns himself with being Samoan first and foremost. He takes his mom's race, not his dad's race. So The Rock really doesn't count in this whole conversation. You're telling me in the 50 years now, the 50-year history of the WWE, that we haven't been able to find one black individual that could carry the company as the top babyface or the top heel and be the WWF, WWF, or WWE champion. Get the hell out of here. And even when you look at the World Heavyweight Championship, you've had, you know, Mark Henry and Booker T, and that's about it. What the fuck? Now, I will give the WWE their props and their credit for this. When it comes to Hispanic or Latin or Mexican wrestlers, those guys do get pushed. Those guys do get featured in big spots. The Rey Mysterios of the world. Hell, you could be in today's WWE. You could be a Mexican wrestler that generates no heat, gets little to no reaction most everywhere he goes, and they put you in the top spot. They treat you like a white guy. Of course, I'm talking about Alberto Del Rio. But for some reason, if you're a black wrestler, that still, even no matter how much the company tries to bury you, they try to do everything they can to put you into a stereotype gimmick, you still get a reaction. The Mark Henrys, the Kofi Kingstons, the R-Truths. You can't be WWE champion? Now, here's a newsflash to the WWE. You have just as many black fans as you do Hispanic fans. If you want to talk about Mexico and this and all of that, you know, you have a lot of black individuals in African countries that watch your product too. And you have a lot of black people in this country that watch your product. It's not just white people. It's not just Hispanic people. A lot of black people watch professional wrestling too. And you know, from my standpoint, I sure as hell would love to see somebody like me at the top, like a Mark Henry, like a Kofi Kingston, like an R-Truth. And I know a lot of my fellow black Americans feel the exact same freaking way. I'm tired of this racist crap of the WWE, and the reason that I'm going off the handle on this now is I see the damn gimmicks that they give somebody like Xavier Woods. This is a young man that is highly educated, to use another borderline racist term, very articulate, But the bottom line is he's the type of guy that you look at him and you say, let's do something a little bit different with him. But not if you're the WWE, Vince McMahon and his creative team say, oh my God, he's a black guy. He loves that rap music and the hip hop dancing and the ghetto girls and he likes to have a good old time. He ain't worried about winning no matches. We can't make him a WWE champion. You know, for all the people who want to sit there and get pissed off about a CM Punk's position in the company or a Daniel Bryan's position in the company or a Dolph Ziggler's or an Antonio Cesaro's or a Zack Ryder's or a Tyson Kidd's or whoever the fuck else you want to throw out there. How come more people aren't just as enraged, if not more so, about somebody like a Mark Henry not being able to be WWE champion, or a guy like Kofi Kingston never really getting a true, serious, big-time freaking push, or a Xavier Woods getting that same old bullshit, stereotypical WWE black guy gimmick? Where's the outrage for that? I'm sorry, I'm more outraged about somebody like R-Truth never being WWE or World Heavyweight Champion than I am Dolph Ziggler's treatment. There's thousands of other white guys just like him. Thousands! And you look, they've had Iron Sheik and Great Khali be WWE or World Heavyweight Champions. They've had different guys, Eddie Guerrero, so on and so forth. Pedro Morales going back in the day. But you're telling me, WWE, that even in this day in 2013, in the 50-year history of your company, you can't have one, and I emphasize again, one black WWE champion? No, we'd rather have him shucking and jabbing and doing all the hip-hop shit. Fuck you, WWE.
The World Wrestling Federation, for over 50 years, the revolutionary force in sports entertainment.
The greatest Monday Night Raw theme song of all time, in my opinion, right there, Micah. That was the joint right here.
Well, I mean, when you had it, it was like, because like when you thought about Monday Night Raw, this was a raw sounding song. Like I still didn't understand everything they were saying until they got to the chorus, and you know, and then yeah, I was just listening to the
to my just part right here.
Yeah. Hey!
I still know what the hell he says. I still have no idea what the hell he says.
All I know was
the end of the night is all I get. That's all I get right there. I don't understand none of it. 347-637-3859. It's the best damn show on radio, but Barbershop Talks Meet Radio. And this ain't for everybody, because what we have may not be for you. And what I have may not be for me. But in the barbershop, you can sell and buy anything. That's for damn sure. 347-637-3859. A lot of stuff in Philadelphia happened over the past 7 days, including Joel Embiid. The process works. I actually want a shirt that says the process. I'm not even lying. I really do. 33 points, 10 rebounds, almost has himself a triple-double last night. But over the weekend, Allen Iverson had a lot of things to say about rest. We're talking about rest, y'all. Rest. Micah, can you please play the beautiful bringing footage for me, please? We're talking about rest. Allen Iverson, his comments here first, and then your opinion about them. When I finish my line, you're supposed to play it. Come on, man. Flawlessly. Hot tag. It's a hot tag.
It's a hot tag, but things happen. You know how the system is and the father and that they took a job and it's our deal for some odd reason. I'm sitting here trying to pull it up.
It's like a
fat guy like me, because I'm fat, trying to do 10 sit-ups for the first time in 10 years. It just doesn't happen sometimes. It just doesn't happen the way you're supposed to sometimes.
I'm sorry. I don't give a damn if it's in 20 years. You better do 10 sit-ups. Now, anytime I push-ups, right, Volley, you should do a push-up any time in your life.
I'm going to say a sit-up.
I'm sorry. I meant to say
a sit-up.
Ten sit-ups. You can do 10 sit-ups, though. Michael,
I'm done. I'm done.
I'm done. You breathe hard getting out of a recliner. Something wrong. You know, you got to do something. I'm about to have a son. I need to live longer than 2 days.
And in that case, Mike doesn't
play roulette. On occasion. Let me give you a word of advice. Always bet on black.
Okay. Well, I don't know what's going on. I'm trying to find it. It's not here.
Did you hit reload on your screen? Anyway, guys, Allen Iverson said that in his day and his time, he could not fathom. I think that's Jay Chris's microphone. Jay Chris, what are you doing over there? You got ice in a glass, Kool-Aid?
No, I'm not telling.
Is this saving for you by ice cold water?
Right,
he's wrapping presents, y'all. He's wrapping. What are you wrapping, Jay Chris? What gift is it? He was wrapping something. It's okay, AC Slater.
I'm not wrapping presents.
Not wrapping presents?
I'm playing golf, actually. I just turned my Xbox on. Got excited. Turned the Xbox on. Got multi-screen action going over here. Got computer on one screen and Xbox on the other. So maybe you hear my controller. I didn't
think. The guy on National Rail just saying he got multi-screen action going on?
Screen, multi-screen.
Yeah, that's definitely you. That's definitely you.
You hear it right now, like at this moment?
No, not right now. Right now.
But
this is a weird on air conversation, but this is us. This is a barbershop.
Like,
right now.
You hear it now?
Right now.
Okay, that's me hitting buttons. Sorry. I'll quiet my buttons down. That's it. I'm done.
Sure. You got it?
But not sure, but I'm trying to wait for the right time.
Okay.
To hit my
basically. People are saying Allen Iverson does not have the right to tell anybody for, you know, the things that he has done over his career, that he would never have rest in his time. Some even brought the point where he missed Fan Appreciation Night when he said he came out and did it for them. I hate to say this, but we have to be honest to who we are. Is AI coming off a little hypocritical, Jay Chris?
Hell to the no. No, he's not. Did AI take nights off? No. AI didn't take nights off. AI, he missed the Fan Appreciation Night. Let's talk about one example. He missed Fan Appreciation Night. He was late. He didn't miss the entire thing. He was late. And Chris Webber was also late at that same night. Let's not forget about that. Chris Webber doesn't take any flack for being late. But, no, Allen Iverson.
Well, Chris Webber called timeout when it mattered the most. No one gives Chris call. You can't put Webber and Allen Iverson in the same breath. I love Sue Webb, but
hey, you're right. You're right. The best timeout in North Carolina history. But AI gave
stop moving.
Off
stop moving. I can't hear you.
He
I need
played.
You to stop moving.
Now, hold on. You know what? I know what the problem is. Here we go. He played hurt.
Thank you.
He even played injured. He even played injured. Okay, and played every game that he was allowed to play. There was no rest. Okay, there was no, I'm taking this game off because of rest. I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be fresh for the playoffs. No, you're an NBA player. You play 82 games if you're healthy enough to play 82 games. I don't care who was Tim Duncan. I understood, but I didn't like it. I went to a Spurs game 2 years ago where Tim Duncan and I think Tony Parker both were resting. And, of course, the Sixers are trash, and I understood. But no, you go out there and you play. You know, these people are buying tickets to see certain people play. They don't buy tickets to see the sixth, seventh, no, I'm sorry. They don't buy tickets to see the eighth and ninth, tenth person on the bench get on the court. They don't buy tickets for that. They buy tickets to see LeBron. They buy tickets to see Carmelo. They buy tickets to see AI, okay? They buy tickets to watch the best players in the world do what they do. Resting in December? Because you want to rest up for May and June? Kiss my arse. You're crazy. Get out of here. AI would never do that. He didn't do that. And I don't think guys should do that now. Okay, I'm done.
Well, for those who missed it, Allen Iverson had something to say. Please, Michael, play that footage, please.
You always stay true to who you are, on and off the court. Today's players, a lot of stars, are healthy scratches for basketball games. A, would you have been a healthy player and missed basketball games? And B, what do you think about it?
I mean, it's different to me. I never thought anything like that would happen. A guy like myself, you know, love to compete night in and night out, tired, hurt, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter, but to each his own, you know what I mean? If it helps those guys and help their team, then so be it.
So what if a coach came to you and said, you know what, we don't want you to play tonight, we want to rest you? How would you respond to that?
It would have been a big problem. It would definitely been a big problem. You know what I mean? We would have definitely had it out. And hopefully I would have came out on top.
Of course you would have. If coach wanted to win that game, of course you would have came out on top of that.
And what Jay Chris was also saying there, and I had this discussion with my significant other, and this isn't the Cavaliers. We're talking about the best player in the world, arguably the most popular player since the likes of Michael Jordan. Okay? And he's not playing. The second player of the best team ain't playing, nor the third best player, let alone LeBron not playing. And the NBA plays Western Conference teams twice a year, one in each stadium. So fans down in Memphis, that's a sold-out ticket every game where LeBron goes to every stadium in most markets. And so you pay your ticket. As the coach even said, some of these might have been people's Christmas presents. Don't get to see them play. Should there be a change to this? Can you fault them in any way? Is Allen Iverson wrong? Is there something the NBA can do about something like this that's going on? Because I look at it like this is completely wrong. And if you're not hurt, you get paid to play. Not you don't get paid to rest, Wally.
I mean, I don't have an issue with them resting per se. Like, if because it's a team game, the element's trying to win games. They're playing to win a championship. Some of these teams, so I'm not mad at it. But I will say this though, because I feel what AI is saying. I feel like just an individual. I play rec ball and I play in leagues and all that other stuff. I play basketball two times in a day. I play in the afternoon and evening in two leagues. And my body's beat. And I'm tired. And I'm not calling myself a professional athlete, but I'm beat and tired. I'm not getting paid. I just love playing basketball. So like, I'm amazed that players like a LeBron James who's still relatively still young for real, or Kyrie Irving or folks like that would sit out a game. Because I feel like you love a sport, you love a game. You ain't keeping me off the court. Like, you love basketball. Like, I feel like, how much do you love it if you're going to sit? That's my thing. I don't have an issue because with it in the realm of the arguing about the fans or whatever, because at the end of the day, these individuals, these coaches, these general managers, they want to win a championship. So they feel like resting your player is the best thing to do, then it is what it is. But as a player, as an individual player, like, you love basketball. Like, that's what you claim. Like, you tell me I can't play, I'm like, man, I don't want to sit and somebody play. I'm trying to play. Like, I'm thirsting to play. You can't tell me that I can't play ball if I'm healthy. You know what I mean? Like, I could be tired, but I'm healthy. Like, I'm going to play. I may not be the best at that day because I'm a little exhausted, a little lethargic, but I still get an opportunity to play basketball. Like, I think they take that for granted. That's my thing. Like, players take that for granted.
Micah, your take. Resting, improper, proper. Because I'm sorry. I think it's horse doo-doo.
Well, yeah, but also we got to look at it as to what kind of player is the one that's resting. Because I don't know how many of you may have had a problem with it, but when I saw how Coach Greg Popovich was trying to make sure he conserved his aging players – and some of those players that may be a little injury prone to the playoffs and make some significant playoff run with the San Antonio Spurs, I didn't hear a lot of people complaining to the level that they would for LeBron. And I think one of the reasons why they complain the most when it comes to LeBron is because LeBron is such a polarizing figure, and we know that when it comes to certain decisions made in most organizations, LeBron is the one that's making the decision, not the coach. So versus Greg Popovich, who we know he's the one that made the decision, Tim Duncan, you're not playing. Manu, you're not playing. Tony, you're not playing. And here's the reason why you're not playing, because we got a title run. Who cares less about this game? This is the one in 85. I'm just on the 82 games of the season. That's how bad they are. 1 in 85, whoever. And we don't need you to get yourself hurt because they want to hack you and stuff like that. So I think if it was a coach decision and we knew the coach was actually in charge of the team, I think less people would be mad about it. Also, are you a fan buying a ticket or are you a fan watching on TV? Since I haven't bought a ticket to watch these guys in person, I don't care.
But if you bought a ticket, that's wrong. If you bought a ticket to this game, you are entitled to watch the best player in the game. And there are a certain group of people that go to basketball games a year. If you're buying a ticket, the best in the world should play.
Exactly.
He's not playing the Bulls or the Knicks where he's going to play them four or five times a year. He's playing a Western Conference team. You could have rested him anywhere else, is what I'm thinking.
If they decide to go ahead and do a set where they're playing an in-conference team, they already saw him twice, they're going to see him three more times, let's go ahead and rest him for this game, let them feel good about themselves, then don't worry about it.
I'm not saying that either. I'm not a world-class athlete, so I don't know when rest is needed. Okay, and LeBron is older in this league, which people sometimes have to give him, understanding. He's got more miles on his body than probably anybody. What Allen Iverson is saying is that if nothing's broken, you play the game. What Wally is saying is that you get paid to still play a game, and that's your job. Your job, but we call out of work. We do whatever. So I get both sides of the spectrum, but as a fan, and that's why I'm speaking from, your ass should play. Now, speaking of fans that once ran the All-Star break, and winners and who were participating in the starters, now players and the media will also join them. Jay Chris, your take, the players and the media now joining the fans in the All-Star voting.
Players and the media are
joining the fans in voting for NBA All-Star game. When the NBA All-Star game voting begins this Christmas Day, fans will have half to say, as they've had before in the past. Now, announced today on the NBA Monday that fans will account for 100% of the vote as we have had since 1975. Now, fans will only count for 50% of the vote when the All-Star game is on February 19th. 25% will be the media, and 25% will be the coaches and the players.
Well, my first response to that would be, do you think, and I'm not talking about you, I'm just talking about anyone in general, do you think the players and the media were not already voting to begin with? Like, why would you say?
Right.
I mean, like, I'm sure players, you can vote online. They pass after Christmas, they pass out, you go to the game, they pass you a ballot. I remember the first time I got an All-Star ballot when I went to a game, I got excited. I didn't even know. Like, I can vote. All right, I didn't even read the thing. I voted for about I voted for about nine people in every position. So I got excited.
When I was a kid, I always voted multiple times in the All-Star game for Major League Baseball, all the time, back and forth, because they gave you so many ballots.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. You can vote as many times as you want. You can go online and vote. You can go to the stadium and vote, whatever the case may be. To announce that and to say that the fans are only going to count for 50% of the vote and all that, I think in my mind that's an NBA attention grabber. You know, the NFL is going into their playoffs or getting ready to go into their playoffs, and, the NFL is king in this country. So, the NBA had to remind people that they're still around too. You got, guys taking nights off, and it looks bad for the NBA. So I just think that's an attention grabber for the NBA. I mean, really, it really doesn't matter because in my heart of hearts, I truly believe that I'm sure they voted already. You know what I mean? I'm sure they voted for themselves. I'm sure the media was voting because they could. And, who was keeping them for? Who was stopping? All right. But here's the thing. Are the fans really going to account for 50% of the vote? Or is it just going to be players, coaches, and media?
I saw the small print on one of the most popular shows in American history, American Idol, with the invention of DVR. You paused it. They say that the fans vote. Well, the small print says, we reserve the right to select the winner if we deem choose to. Once I read that, Jay Chris, I mean, hell, anything is possible, including players and media have been voting. But as you said, it's intriguing that they now know that they have a vote to do so, and a vote is going to count for the percentage. Now, I can say this much in the voting process. This isn't our American democracy system where we have this electoral college vote that no one seems to make sense and understand. If the majority votes you in, the majority votes. And that seems to what has always worked for All-Star games and thus for. So moving forward, I would say fans did have the majority of the vote in that. To now take that from them, I believe it's stupid, and you say it's a ploy for the NBA to get noticed during this time of football season. I agree that is right, but I also think that's a horrible way to get noticed. Wally, your take.
Fans annoy me, so it doesn't bother me.
Right.
Because they vote when it comes to All-Star games, like the wrong. I guess in basketball, I'll give them credit. In basketball, they've been better than other years. I remember one year, what team had that? One team had their whole starting five at starters in the All-Star game. Close to
it was the Pistons.
Yeah, exactly. That's ridiculous. They're not. You know what I mean? That was ridiculous. So in that realm, I don't get. I'm happy that players have more. I'll put it this way: I think players and coaches need more power when it comes to picking, like the starters in the All-Star game, because you gotta get people who deserve it, like who are having great seasons. Like fans get so fixated with superstars or a player in their area that's having a really good year, but it's not the best player. I think players and coaches, they recognize who's balling, like that. It is what it is. There's no bias. It's not as biased. Like, you are recognizing the best, a player who's really doing a darn thing that season. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, for instance, Russell Westbrook will probably be the starter in the All-Star game. But let's just say, for example, Russell Westbrook was Damian Lillard, right? Damian Lillard probably can't beat the popularity of a Russell Westbrook right now at this point in time in the NBA. So I'm just saying, like, our players will acknowledge that type of player and say, you know what, Dame is doing it. And Dame is doing it. Like, Dame is killing it right now in the league. But he will get rewarded because the players would say, you know what, we know you're in Portland. Not everybody gets to see you, but we know you balling. You got an opportunity to start in the All-Star game.
Excuse me.
Well,
347-637-3859. Go ahead, J. Chris.
Just jumping on what Wally's saying. Sorry, I accidentally muted myself trying to move myself around. I agree with what he's saying. Like, you know, a lot of times you don't get to see who Damian Lillard, who plays in Portland, who's not, you know, they're not the greatest thing. They're a playoff team, but Damian Lillard has been snubbed, if I'm not mistaken. He's been snubbed since he's been in the league. Really, I don't think he's been in an All-Star game yet.
He's been the one. And he's been the one.
He's been the one. Okay,
yeah,
he really deserves to be in an All-Star game now.
Yeah.
Does that mean he still won't get snubbed? Because, I think about it, right? And I know I'm biased, for sure, with the statement that I'm about to say, okay? Because I like to be unbiased with a lot of things, but what I'm about to say is going to be pretty biased. In my opinion, right now, Joel Embiid has probably been the best big man in the game right now, okay? I'm going to say probably – the Eastern Conference, sure. All right, Boobie Cousins been doing this thing. Davis has been doing this thing, but Embiid has been showing off a little bit, but he hasn't been playing every night. Now, will this, you know, for one, does Embiid deserve an All-Star spot? And he'll definitely be in the rookie game if he's allowed to play from the
right
organization.
It's not like Major League Baseball where you're forced to have one player from every team play.
Exactly. So, I mean, does Embiid deserve a spot, you know, and you know, should he get a spot? I mean, do you agree that he's been one of the best big men
overall, yeah, without question, I believe so as well.
I mean, yeah, definitely, depending on, he deserves to be, because the East bigs aren't relevant, but he is relevant. I'm not saying he is relevant.
See, outside of highlights, you know, a lot of people seen the Sixers play.
Yeah, exactly, that's true. I mean, you get to see him on ESPN every once in a while, see what his stats and whatnot. I mean, I'm impressed with him when I saw him. I'm totally impressed with him, so. And a skill standpoint, I love the kid's game. You can arguably say that. I don't know. I guess Porzingis is like a 4-3. Is he a no? Melo's a 3. So Porzingis is gonna probably play.
Porzingis
is
like a stretch 4.
He's an all-star caliber player. But we're talking about a 5. I can't say anybody is playing a 5 that's just as good as this.
But they don't pick by positions though. They don't pick where you have to have. I mean, looking at
not anymore.
They stopped that about a couple of years ago, where you had to have a point guard.
I mean, I think
right. So that takes away from that.
Like him to,
Yeah, it would be easy for somebody like him to be in the All-Star game if it was like a 5-4, like he's a center, like you have to have a center. I think that'd be easier for him. I think nowadays, because you know the softness of the NBA, you know, trying to take away the five man, it's a little harder for good bigs. Now I'm gonna say that for real, really good post working bigs to make the All-Star game, make the All-Star team.
347-637-3859. I look at things this way also, where I think people need to notice and see what's going on in this world. And it's fans. And I think just for the perception, remember there's reality and there's perception. For the reality of it and the perception of it, I think in this case goes hand in hand. Give fans the perception that we have some power. And we have some control. And I think taking something like this, you know, quote unquote, from the fans, I think isn't a good idea. I get what you're trying to do, but I don't think you taking the fans' vote away would have still put Damian Lillard in there. Players can say what they want to say, but will players really put their votes where it matters most? And matter of fact, will all players vote? We got guys to take days off. So I want you to assume that all players are going to vote.
That's true. I hear you. Only about the Dame Lillard, because I was pissed off he didn't make the – well, he should have made the All-Star team last year. He got screwed last year, too. But yeah, I'm with you, though. I'm with you. I know what you're talking about.
So, with that being said, also, over the weekend in Philadelphia, amazing. Champion for the longest time, in which I have not ever been a fan of, does not deserve to go out the way that he went out. Bernard – the Executioner Hopkins, formerly known as, now he's Bernard the Alien Hopkins, loses in his final fight. KO'd in his final fight. Knocked out the ring. Ultimately embarrassed by one Smith. I mean, you lost to a guy whose last name is Smith. The question is, one talking off air with one Uncle Jay says that he believes he was trying to take a knee and got caught with a punch. Talking with Micah off air says that he believes the fight should have been stopped way before it got that far. Wally, not hearing yours off air, but want to hear it on air. What is your take of watching such a legend like Bernard Hopkins, who should have retired five fights ago, going out the way that he went out? And that's what he will probably be most remembered for.
He got executed. That thing was terrible.
That was good. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah, I like D-Hop, too. I was like, dang, you went out like that? I mean, it obviously is going to leave a lasting image. It's going to tarnish it to a certain extent. He's still a guy that, to me, is one of the best boxers of his era. But to go out like that, I think going out, to use a wrestling term, he went out like a jobber. Like, it just, like, dude got, he got punched and went out of the ring. Like, dude got knocked out of the ring. That's not supposed to happen. We make fun of Roy Jones Jr., the way he's getting knocked out repeatedly nowadays. But, like, out the ring, though, B-Hop, like, I can't, that image will never escape my mind. Like, we're talking about a guy who beat some of the all-time, like, at his era, some of the greats of his era. And, like, to go out like that, I'm like, wow. If I was him, I would, like, say I would rescind my retirement and add one more fight.
And get an
easier
fight.
I would have one more fight. I would have – I don't care
who
it would be.
Yeah. I said after the fight, you can't go out like that. He's got to fight.
Can't go out like that, man. You just can't do it. Like, you
could – He said that was it.
Yeah, I know. If you, like, an average, a good boxer, like, but this dude has done so much damage, and I mean that in a good way.
This
in
hurts.
The game of
this
boxing.
Hurts Jay Chris's heart. Jay Chris of Bernard Philadelphia fan. Jay Chris. I mean, should he come back and fight one more time?
Yes and no. Yes and no. he should just because of the way he went out. Like, if he had lost, I would say no. Nah, you know, he's done. But just because of the way he went out. And I mean that literally and figuratively. You can't go out like you can't. It's like that would be like Kobe going out and scoring 1 point. You know what I mean? Like, you can't go out like that, right? You just can't. Like, Mike can't go out.
Kobe's better than that. Kobe's better than that. He dropped 60 something in his last game.
Yeah, this one's a Kobe dropped 60. Peyton Manning won the Super Bowl. He won the Super Bowl. They go out on top. Like let's be honest. I'm gonna be straight up with you. I did not know who this guy who he was fighting. I did not know he was a champion.
I knew that because I follow HBO Boxing.
I never even looked the guy up. And just listening to Howard Letterman, you know, this Howard Letterman would travel just to see this guy fight. So this guy was not necessarily a nobody. He had a 20.
No, he was not a bum.
He was not a bum. He just is not popular. But that being said, man, like Mike, yes, you're absolutely right. It really hurt my heart to see him go out like that because I really feel like I was talking during the fight. I was with amongst family. You know, we had a lot of family in town this weekend, and I was saying, you know, he usually starts out slow, and I was saying exactly everything he was doing, and he started looking like he was coming on in that sixth round, and in that fifth round as well. And I actually disagree with some of Harold Letterman's his scores. I had him winning, I think, the third round, second round, something like that. But, you know, and then for him to go out, and like I said, Mike, we spoke off air over the week, and I said I felt like he got hit behind the ear. He was out, in my opinion. He was out, and I think he wanted to go down. I think he was very loose and trying to avoid punches as he was going down, and he got to that spot. Sorry, he got to that space in between the ropes, got hit hard, and just I never seen anybody get knocked. I've seen people get knocked out of ropes, and every time I seen somebody get knocked out, where I say I've never seen anyone get knocked out of the ropes like that before. That's the best style of games.
Micah, watching Bernard Executioner, the Alien Hopkins, 55 years old. I mean, Jesus, the guy has been fighting since Muhammad Ali was fighting. Should he have? I mean, I think he was. I think he was boxing in the 80s.
He's 51.
I'm sorry, 51.
God dang, he gets knocked out the ring. You add four more years to the brother. That's messed up.
Well, I listen. Although never a fan of Bernard Hopkins, I've said that plenty of times in this program. I've never liked his boxing style. To me, he was what I would call. What people say about Floyd Mayweather. But you know what I mean? Like, people call Floyd a boring boxer. I never saw that. To me, when I watched Bernard Hopkins, I was unimpressed with him. I was never a fan of his. I thought his defense was great, but I was never impressed with him. I thought he cheated, you know, in a way, you know, dirty boxing is the word they use, not cheating. You know, I thought he did that. He did enough to always win the fight. I won't take that from him. I can't say that, oh, he lost that fight. He would always fight his fight and win the fight. So I give him credit and I respect him for that. But never for me being personally a fan, even I was like, that's not supposed to happen. Now, don't get me wrong. At first I did laugh. I did. I'm sorry. But then I was like, whoa, that's not really funny. That's Bernard Hopkins. Dude, get the F up. You know what I mean, Micah? So he's still a legend, no?
I mean, look, as y'all been developing me and helping me learn about this boxing game, you know, one of the things that I remember about boxing was that you have somebody in the ring with you that may be an all-time great, but you're 20 years younger than them. You're supposed to have your business against this old man. You ain't supposed to be sitting here allowing this dude to hang around to fight. Now, I don't know what Joe Smith was thinking, but as I was going through the fight, I was going through the minutes, going through the rounds, I'm like, why is he letting Bernard Hopkins look there? Now, granted, part of me was like, well, that's probably just the greatness of Bernard Hopkins. You know, he has a history, he has a skill, veteran instincts, able to counter certain things and anything like that. He may still be slower than Joe Smith in some regards, but at the same time, his mind is probably still faster than Joe Smith because all the battles and wars that he's been through as a boxer. Great, cool. What the heck is he still doing? What is he still doing in this ring? Not the dude.
And I'm sorry. His first fight was in 1988, so Muhammad Ali was not boxing. And he lost, by the way. And in his debut, he lost.
Well, but that's what – but see, when I was talking about earlier that I was laughing, I was just laughing that Joseph let him hang around that much. The way it ended should have been the way it ends for a guy who's in his – fighting the guy who's going to be in his prime. That's how it should end. Now, I granted, it's no disrespect to Bernard Hopkins. I'm just saying it should end that way. It should have ended sooner with a knockout.
Maybe him and Roy Jones can do it one more time since he always – this is why I never liked him, Jay Chris, is that he always complained, but my boy –
Roy Jones whooped him unanimously. To me, it wasn't a 116-112 fight. I really had that fight 118-110, but that's just me. And I was a young kid back in 1993. You know what I mean? But that's one of the reasons why I never really liked Bernard Hopkins. I thought he always cried about that fight. But maybe, you know, since Roy's fighting next week in Warrington, Delaware, maybe that'd be one more fight.
February 21st is the fight.
Maybe they can fight again. What do you think about that one?
No,
I'm just
no,
saying.
Please, no. I want to see that fight again as much as I want to see the Undertaker fight.
Stop
whoever
it.
Whoever it was that we were talking
about. Sting.
It would be the same. It would be the same thing.
Sting, damn it. Sting.
Yeah, Sting. Yeah. I want to see Bernard fight Roy as much as I want to see Undertaker fight Sting. Stink Meaner and Grandpa Freeman.
We got about 15 minutes left in the program. Real fast, turn your attention to last night's WWE Roadblock, End of the Road. Micah got a chance to watch it live. I actually caught it a little late, passed out. I've been having real bad headaches lately. So, but passed out, but I got up. I got to watch it. Beautiful thing about the WWE Network. Right, it's never going to go anywhere. Right, it's there forever. I don't care what I say. It's awesome. WWE Network for $9.99. But Roadblock happened last night. We had a spot Facebook call the most disrespectful match of all to have Rusev versus Big Cass on the kickoff show. Rusev defeats Big Cass via countout. Then we had the end of the 484-day tag team title reign ended by the New Day by League of Nations 2.0 dubbed by Spotface, Sheamus, and Cesaro. Then we had Sami Zayn lasted 10 minutes against Braun Strowman. Boo. And I'm a big, huge Sami Zayn fan. Seth Rollins beats Y2J in a match. Rick Swann wins his match. But gets jumped by Aaron frickin' Neville. Thank you, Neville, was the crowd reaction last night. Kevin Owens beats Roman Reigns by disqualification by one Chris Jericho. And Charlotte, yet again, undefeated on pay-per-views, as the wrestling fans would say, the title is hot-shotted again against Sasha Banks. People are saying that the hashtag picture that was sent out last week, Black Excellence, is the cause for both people losing their championships. That can be a conversation for a Perfect Flex Talk Radio, as the time will not allow us to get deeply into that subject, but I would like to get your thoughts on that and the pay-per-view, Micah.
Yeah, I thought the pay-per-view was a solid pay-per-view. I thought it was really, really good. Obviously, I didn't pay attention so much to the kickoff show, because it's a kickoff show, don't care. That's going to translate into tonight. One of the main things that I took away from it was that, in my opinion, there was no match on the card outside of the kickoff match, because that's when it's kickoff, that had no meaning to it, for example. So that's what I'm trying to say. So each match had some kind of vested interest in it for me to watch it. I wanted to watch, was the New Day going to drop their titles finally, because they already broke the record. WWE already did their thing. When it came to Passing Demolition, for reasons that we'll talk for a Purple Flex Radio, can have a conspiracy theory about that. You know, it's a great moment for Sheamus and Cesaro. Some people want to poo-poo and say it wasn't done all the way. The build wasn't right. They already lost him before. Screw that. It doesn't matter. Two good guys who have brought out the best in each other. Definitely Cesaro has brought out a lot of good stuff for Sheamus. Great interaction. Team Hell No 2.0. I love the odd couple tag teams. The match with Seth Rollins and Chris Jericho, can you get more solid than that? Good in-ring technicians, tell him a good story. He's trying to work his way up to the left. It's kind of like, see, here's what I don't understand. People are trying to, they can't enjoy, and this is why I'm starting to agree with you more and more on certain things, Mike. People can't enjoy certain segments of wrestling for what it is, and they don't understand how to play video games, obviously, because before you fight the big boss, don't you always got to go through a mini boss first when you're in a mission game? You know, when you're fighting them, when you're trying to get to the major boss, the head bad guy, don't you have to be his henchmen first, the people who conspired and brought all this misery into your life that helped him out? Well, Triple H is the main guy. Guess who you have to go through to get to him? You got to go through Kevin Owens. Guess who's helping Kevin Owens too much? The other mean bad guy mini boss, Chris Jericho. It's logical sense.
He has to get up to give us a slow burn to when him and Triple H finally gets the chance to fight over the belt. Probably it's going to be over the belt because, you know, Triple H loves his belts. With that said, I love the match. Great. He talks about it more on Wednesday. That was great. The Iron Man match, I have to give that one an A+. Great storytelling. And I actually saw blood in a ladies' match. Yeah.
Blood. And we're not talking about from the lower region.
Yes, not from the lower region. She busted her mouth or busted her nose, but whatever she did, fantastic. Good job. We need more of that. It shows that it's still real to me.
No, we don't. I disagree with blooded women. I'm sorry. At some point, I draw the line, damn it. Okay, bad enough these women are not going to have children one day, probably.
Yeah,
I mean,
the bumps
that they're taking. Okay.
No,
I'm going to listen. They need to slow. They need to slow down. Oh, they want to have children.
Can we have an occasional busted lip though? No blading, not no hard way. Which is an occasional busted lip?
Whatever.
Also, yeah, I know. but last but not least, I'll give you my belt grade. Everyone who's poo pooing and saying that Kevin Owens, his championship run looks weak because he's a chicken champion and all that.
Yes,
stuff.
Yes, come on, speak on it.
Like that, can I put something to rest in my opinion? This is just me. It's an entertainment-based product, so everyone has their opinion. Some are based in intelligence, some are based in hate. Here's mine.
Mostly
Kevin
hate.
Heel. Sometimes heels don't win clean. If we're dealing with a guy like Roman Reigns, very few heels have beat him clean because they're still trying to make him look a certain way. So they're trying to make him look a certain way, and most heels in the company usually don't win clean. Doesn't it make sense that after Kevin Owens pretty much fucks them the entire match, that at the most critical point, that they swerve you and let them win via a cheap way that Chris Jericho and him set up a long time ago? Everything was beautiful about how that ended. Even after the little mini-show reunion, because, you know, Roman Reigns has to get over, so to stop him from being booed, we put Seth Rollins in there, we put Chris Jericho in there, make him friends with Kevin Owens, put him through some tables, yeah, everyone cheers now. We still don't like him. It's okay. We don't like Roman Reigns, but Kevin Owens did his job. He made the soon-to-be hero and lead star look like gold. That's what his job was. He's still a strong champion. He's a heel champion. That's exactly what he's supposed to do. Can I jump in?
Yeah.
I just want to jump in and put some more on Micah's point. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but aren't most heel champions, chicken champions, they rarely win clean. They always run away from any type of controversy or competition when they don't want the competition. You understand what I'm saying? If people are complaining about that, then they don't understand what a heel champion is.
Well,
am I right? I mean,
some heel champions are bad to the bone champions. Some heel champions don't always run. There's some heel champions that look very strong that just destroy you and demolish you. Like, for example, if they put the belt on a guy like Braun Strowman, you already know he ain't running from no fight. You know, if they put a belt on him, he's not going to run. He's not going to run away from a fight. Bray Wyatt doesn't run away so much as he plays my games with you. So he does things in a cheap fashion too. But he never really runs away from a fight. He just tries to get you set up and get you tracked. So there's certain superstars that are bad to the bone heels, trick you out heels, and then chicken heels. Kevin Owens has got the more chicken heel booking right now, where he's trying to avoid the fight. But for the most part, if he has to, he can still back it up. We saw that in the match where he was dominating a lot of stuff in that match. And Roman Reigns, he made Roman Reigns look really, really good in that match. And Roman Reigns' athleticism enabled him to keep up. But Kevin Owens was throwing him like he was – Kevin Owens wrestling him like he was wrestling Sami Zayn in some respects. So I thought it was
– I thought it was match of the night, personally. And I think, again, Roman Reigns shows his ability to step it up to the next level. What is your belt grade?
My belt grade is a 3.75 out of 5 Rey Mysterio World Heavyweight Championship reigns. It's a lot of great moments, a lot of solid things. You know, it came up short in just a few ways, but not in the ways that, like, makes it bad, you know? So, yeah, 3.75 out of 5 Rey Mysterio World Heavyweight Championship reigns.
I'm also going to give it 3.75 John Cena U.S. spinner titles, as I was number two of 300,000 made in the beginning to have one. Proof is in the pudding, so come get a taste. I know that you love it from the SmackDown taping to prove so. But, yeah, I thought it was a very solid pay-per-view. I thought the women's Iron Man match separated everything. I like the surprising moments. The only reason why I won't give it a bigger grade than that is because of the lead into it and still having – I really did not like the Braun Strowman match with Sami Zayn. I didn't like that whole 10-minute lasting thing. I want to see the Iron Women's match kind of end in a tie to that way you would have a reason to have another match. You know what I mean? She doesn't really lose, but she didn't, you know, she didn't necessarily win in Charlotte. Take that to the Royal Rumble and then have your, you know, your moving on from that program and that. But overall, I thought it was a really, really good show. And so I give it a 3.75. Like I said, United States John Cena spinner titles on that one. But it is time for one of my favorite parts of the show. And I wonder, J. Chris, are you singing? Are you a singer, J. Chris?
I like.
Are you a rapper, J? You have to think you are. I thought I was a singer until I was playing High Fives, you know, Quality Time. I was singing, and my wife's making fun of me from upstairs, talking about something purely about hearing people sing completely off key when they think they can sing.
Yeah,
I don't see.
It is what it is. I sing anyway.
Also, let me just say this, people. Filthy America over J. Cole's album. I said it, Wally. I said it. Filthy America. I said it. Best and worst of the weekend. Let's go. Come on, Wally. I want to hear you, Wally. This might be your last show for the year, Wally. Let me hear you. Sing it with me. Huh. Everybody, let me hear you all up and get down.
He put Jodeci on that song.
Yeah, he did. Put some respect on that Jodeci name. Go ahead, Wally. Best and worst of the weekend, Wally.
Best, I got the Rock a Jerry Curl, which is pretty cool. And a chain.
I saw that.
CB4. Yeah, that was the best. Yeah, exactly. So that was the best of the weekend for me. Worst of the weekend for me had to be my kids. Well, I'm going to take blame for it. They weren't coached right. And we was in a tournament, and we didn't play well. So I put that on me and my brother. So we didn't coach right. So we're going back to the drawing board, and we're going to see what we need to do to get my kids inspired.
Micah, best and worst of the weekend.
Best of the weekend was watching Star Wars Rogue One. Yes.
It was so damn good.
But I really enjoyed myself and getting the Death Star, the commemorative Death Star.
Boo!
I'm just saying, man, you had the chance to get one, but you decided to go ahead and get the two teardrops in the bucket and fail for the bucket.
It fell for the bucket. It was more popcorn, man. It was more popcorn.
My worst of the weekend. Also sticking with Star Wars, but not in the way you think. For every dumb person who was saying dump Star Wars because it was a liberal SJW-based movie, you are stupid. It is not Ghostbusters. It wasn't written just to put women in charge. It was written for Star Wars fans. That's why it blew the mud, it blew you out the water to the tune of 150 plus million in opening weekend. So see,
295 was the final numbers. 295
was the final number. Almost 300 million in one weekend. See, you don't always have to protest everything, stupid. Now everything's an issue to be battled over. It's a movie. Get over yourself.
J. Chris, best and worst of the weekend.
Many places I can go with this worst of the weekend. I'm not going to take it to a personal note, so I'll take it to boxing. Watching one of my favorite boxers of all time get knocked out of the ring, onto his head, onto his cranium, onto his cabeza, and then make excuses about it afterwards. That's the one thing I don't like about B-Hop. He tends to pull some excuses out of the bag.
He definitely
and
made
they're never even. They're never.
What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? No one can hear you, bro.
I'm sorry. The excuses are never. The excuses are never like. They're never even good excuses. It's like.
Better not.
It's like that one kid that lies all the time. You know what I mean? The best of the weekend was. Even though it was for a sad occasion, was to see my family come together around the holidays, from which, you know, I don't necessarily always get to see them around holiday time and or on a regular basis. So I was happy to see my family this weekend.
Worst of the weekend, North Carolina loss to Kentucky. I hate Kentucky as much as I hate the Cowboys, the Yankees. Duke Blue Devils. I hate Kentucky as well. But I will say one thing coming out of that game. I saw the number one pick in the draft and probably the best college basketball player that I can remember in recent memory. Now, I can say this and it wasn't just because he did it against my team, because I've been on record for saying fire Roy Williams for not getting better freshman class in there. And I've also been on record for saying that once he made an interview at halftime against the Duke Blue Devils game, and he said he didn't care about defense. It was about if we can outscore Duke, it was all that mattered. I really wanted him fired since then. So it ain't like North Carolina plays great defense. With that being said, I cannot remember the time I saw a kid play ball like this. He played a what's my man in Charlotte right now? Went to UConn. Kimball Walker-esque kind of game against Syracuse in that triple overtime game is what he did in regular regulation. Was it 49 points in that game? He did it every which way, including the final shot of the game to win the game. Not the final shot, the buzzer, but, took the last shot, won the game for Kentucky. I was getting mad that they were comparing him to Michael Jordan, being he's a Kentucky player playing North Carolina. And then as I went back and watched the game, because I like to do that. I drive for a little bit. I have a lot of free time on my hands. I went back and watched that game again. And that guy is Malik Monk. Remember that name. It's unbelievable. Still worst of the weekend. And my best of the weekend, I had to go with you, Micah, as well, was to get to watch Rogue One, Episode 1. Not spoiling anything for you. In the words of Jeremy Johns, if you've ever been a Star Wars fan or a supporter, just watch the movies like I have been. I don't know the whole, I'm not the terminology or all the ins and outs of Star Wars, but I know the story. I know the horror story. I know what the story is about. It put all the pieces to the puzzle together. The opening credits, when it tells you that in New Hope, when it starts off, that story is what they tell you in Rogue One. If you have not seen it, I advise you to go see it. It is arguably one of the greatest Star Wars movies of all time. And for the first time in recent memory, I can remember fans cannot bitch like they do when it comes to Flash, Arrow, superhero movies, where they say that a book is different than the movie. From all accounts and everything that I've listened to and I follow, from Collider movies to Jeremy Johns to people that I know personally who are diehard mythology lovers of Star Wars, this movie is incredible and identical to the book. With that being said, Jay Chris, we have one more show this year, and it's the top 25 female show of the year. I'm excited. It's the only time once a year my wife lets me get raunchy. Ooh, I need that sound. I need that audio, King Vaughn or Micah. Let me see you upload it. Young M.A. Ooh, instrumental. We need that because it's going to get a little nasty, J. Chris. It does get that way. I love that my wife lets me get raunchy once a year. People, do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love me some me, but don't love God. Christmas season. He's the reason for the season. Remember that, y'all. We out of here. We see you later this week. Peace.
game. We talking about practice.
Great cash, homie.
This is the Shoulder Sports, hosted by Mike Knox. It's barbershop talk, still we think outside the box. We take it to the hoop, y'all be trying to find your shot. Sports talk, the best on the dial when it's time to rock. We talking football, baseball, boxing, any sports you can name. Keep your radios locked in. Listen, you can get the scoop on all your top 10. Mike Knox, Soul and Sports, we keep it hot, man.
If you're not down with that, we got two words for you!
At T-Mobile, we're declaring the end of data limits. Introducing T-Mobile One. One price, all unlimited, for everyone. That's right. Get unlimited 4G LTE data on your smartphone on our network that was built to handle it. And get it at a price that won't break the bank. With four lines of unlimited LTE data for just $35 a line per month with autopay. Switch today.
Top 3% of data users greater than 26 gigabytes per month may see reduced speeds until next bill cycle. Video typically streams at 480p with qualifying credit discount via bill credit plus taxes and fees.